Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He's coming back again, and he's coming back strong. He loves his people. He cares about us all. He knows what to do. We're going to see the mighty works of God in many ways. The more we draw near to him, the more we'll realize what he's really doing. Now, you got to understand, the Lord loves his people and he's highly motivated. So if God do a great work in your life, don't be surprised at all. He's going to use everything he has to rescue his people that believe on him. Many people are weak. Some, they're just like he gave us the example right up front. He gave us this example for a reason in chapter 25, in Matthew chapter 25. The parable of the wise and foolish virgins, the 10 virgins. Now, this was so that we could avoid a problem. Some people, they draw near to the Lord and learn. And they love the Lord and they want to know him. And some people, they love God, but they don't pursue him to know him. And the enemy is going to try to take advantage of them. And they seem to never catch on that the enemy is harassing their life. He tempts us to do the wrong thing when we should be doing the best things. He tempts people to do what won't work. And we have to we have to be vigilant. You know, there are so many scriptures that say, like in Romans 12, be not slothful in business. You know, and then the word tells us in another place to be vigilant, knowing that our enemy is just like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. And what you have to do, as we draw near to the Lord, don't let things hinder you. Don't be stopped. Jesus went to the man at the pool of Bethesda and said, will you be made whole? Some people have more determination than others. And if you're strong, then do what you can to help the weak. They are your brothers. Remember something. When people get born again, their spirit man is clean. And they're not setting out to do any evil. But the enemy, those that are weak, he will present them with lies and untruths to stop the progress of life in their life. And then he tried to get them back into the realm of doubt and in any sin that he can possibly get them to fall for. And remember, if it gets in your heart, then you'll choose to sin on your own. But nevertheless, we need God's word in our heart. And what the Lord has been bringing to me the last few weeks, he came to me saying that many people are weak. They don't have the word in their heart. And they're not ready for what's about to happen. You know that World War III is prophesied, and it hadn't happened yet. And I would love for the church to be so strong to stop it from happening, which is possible. It is, you know, it's not, if it didn't happen yet, prophecy is given so that we can know what's coming, know what the enemy is up to, and counter it. Now, the word is still true. If we counter it, the word still, that future was going to happen if we didn't do anything. It's just like the book of Revelation. The Lord showed us what he's going to do in response to what has been done. But every time a person gets saved, they change the course of their future and they're not involved in the destruction. They chose life. And their future, they will be of those that will live and be rewarded. And this is possible for everybody that wants it. Now, some people, Daniel said, the wicked will do wickedness, and they will not understand. And they got two problems. They'll do wickedness. They will do wickedly. They'll do wicked deeds, and they don't understand what they're doing. They don't understand life. They don't understand the magnitude of what they're doing, and they're baited. They're baited by Satan, and some are highly deceived. Some are in rebellion. Most people are deceived that's following Satan. They're deceived and weak to his will. They believe his presentation is not God's. And then there are people in the church, what I mean by the church, people who did believe on Jesus Christ and they experienced salvation, but they won't grow up. And the enemy, every time they try to grow up, the enemy hinder them, and they allow it. They don't stop it. It takes the word to stop the darkness. It takes the word to desire the word. In other words, if you start studying the word, you're going to want more of it. If you receive it with the intent to do it and live it, and you're not trying to judge it and figure out how to get out of it. If you love the world somewhere, guess what? The enemy has something to work with. And he's going to find a way to bait you into further darkness. And some people ridicule the word. They're fault finders. They're not going to make it. They're going to die. And they're going to be judged just like the people that went to hell already. They're not going to make it. It's almost a waste of time to try to get them on board with God. But Jesus said it this way. He said, love all men. Be kind to all men. This is their chance for once to live forever and not die by the deception and the rebellious practices of the enemy. And the reason I said rebellious practices is because the enemy will hurt people and do harm to people in order to suffocate their life and make them believe a lie and hinder them in every way of life. And it disturbs their motivations of love. It gets them out of the love realm and into the hatred realm. And that's where Satan knows how to work. And another thing, Satan thinks that we think like him. He always did, and he always will. People think that it's inevitable that people think that you are like them. And they think whatever they fail for, you'll fall for. But when you love God, it's not true. And on the other side, people that love God relentlessly, it's easy for them to believe that others are the same, and it's not true either. But the Holy Spirit will guide us in all truth. Whatever you don't understand, if you can pay attention to the Holy Spirit, you can still come out ahead. And you have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. You can't go by what people are doing, saying, and believing. You have to go by the pure word of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit relates to. So if you want the Holy Spirit guidance in your life, you have to receive God's word on things. And the more you receive his word, the easier it is for the Holy Spirit to get a point across, and you hold on to it. Now, many people are receiving revelation. They're receiving the right revelation, but they lose it. And they lose it because they don't know to hold on to it. You have to write it down. If you write it down on paper, you can look at it again and it will refill your heart. And the Lord taught me to write it down in my heart. Everything he tell me, I write it in my heart. If I don't do a good job of writing in my heart and I didn't write it down on paper, then I have to believe God for the same thoughts again. The enemy is sneaky. Don't trust him. At any time, we can let the word slip. If we're concentrating on something else, we can let that word slip. So if you're healthy, if you have a journal and you write things that the Lord tell you down, when he gives you a thought and you write it down, you're going to keep it. All you have to do is take time to go back and look at it again. And the Holy Spirit, he's trying to help us. And we have to work with him. Now, the ten virgins, five had oil in their lamps and five let the oil run out. They all had oil in their lamps in the beginning, but the five, while they were waiting on the bridegroom, they didn't keep oil in their lamp. What is our oil? That's the word that we receive in our heart. Jesus Christ brought us back to the zero line. And I like to put it this way, because Adam was at the zero. He was perfect. He was made in God's image. You know, he was well off. The zero line is not poverty. There's no sin in the zero line. You're made righteous. And now you just have to receive God's word, the tree of life. If Adam would have ate off the tree of life, it would have caused him to grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And he would have had resistance against the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Some people have no resistance to evil. They don't have enough resistance to evil. They allow it. It fascinates them. And they don't say anything. But when you have resilience, you have the word in you, and you speak against the things that's trying to tear you down. And the things that you know can be a problem, you work against it. You have to fight. So because of this, people have been, they live in a weakened state. And most people refuse to grow. Now, Jesus put it this way. You can't serve God and money. So you got to choose who you're going to serve. And I'm going to tell you how slick the enemy is. And I've been going to church all my life. Most people don't have an appetite for the word of God. Some do. Those that go on Wednesday night, they have the most appetite in most cases. Some people can't go on Wednesday night. But those that are the most dedicated, when they're there, they're listening to hear. Now, the Lord subdues everything, just like he told Adam to subdue all things. And this is how you grow up from the zero line and not fall down below the zero line. You always excel. As you learn, you practice. You learn something, you practice it. When people want to know God and they have a good pastor, a studying pastor, a teaching pastor, even if the pastor's weak, they pull on the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will cause him to say what they need. And the more progressive the pastor is, the easier it is for the Holy Spirit to get a point across without religious interference. So what has happened is, if when people had a weakened appetite, they don't do that. And the pastor's trying to get them to be interested in the things of God without losing their soul. And they're overly cautious to offend people, because some people give money to the church. That's why it's working. And some people, they give up on it and they stop paying tithes. They stop giving offerings. They stop coming altogether. They just let it drop. And then everybody that pay tithes, eventually they will die. See, I understand that everything has to be financed. Everything has to be done. People have to be encouraged. But the thing is, when people want to know God and they are relentless, that's when the Holy Spirit can really help us out. But the challenges of ministry are going to always be there. Some people are easily offended. But pastors are anointed to pastor people. So the way to do this, never lower the standards to keep the money flow. Never. Always do it by the Holy Spirit. If a pastor starts fearing the people can sense it. And the weakest people will exploit that. People that want something for nothing will always, anytime that there's a fear, animals notice fear. If animals notice fear, people notice fear. But when you have no fear and you're telling people things that will help them, then you're encouraging the stronger people to grow. And then weaker people can grow. You're going to need the stronger people to help the weaker people. That's going to always be the case until people get to know Christ. The day is coming where the weak people of Israel will be like David, and the strong people will be like Jesus. Now, to get to that point, we have to follow God. Every challenge, don't try to master a challenge alone. Every challenge you can have, let the Holy Spirit guide you in that without fear. There's two things you got to have in place. One is love, and perfect love, guess what, cast out fear. So if you have the situation of God's love in you, you're going to know what to do, just like a young mother when her child gets sick. They find a way to take care of their child because they will be made whole. That child will be made whole. If Jesus would have asked the average young mother, will your child be whole? They would immediately say yes, and they have no clue in what to do because they love their child. The man at the pool of Bethesda received his healing because he believed what Jesus told him. Now, if we believe what Jesus is telling us, we're going to be fine no matter how it looks. With that, you have to be willing to do whatever it takes. If you want something bad enough or strong enough, not bad enough, but strong enough, you will do it. There is a way and you will find it. But when people start allowing weaker people to set the pace through fear, through compromise, then it's over. It's not going to work. And the reason I said when people are trying to find another route, they're going to die. But this is why. If you don't receive light, you can't appreciate it. If you're trying to find fault with life, you'll never know what it can do. Daniel said, the wicked will do wickedly and they won't understand, and this is why. They're doing wickedly because that's what they trust. They're baited. They have a vision, a false vision, and they believe lying wonders. Satan, he's a trickster. He can do miracles, but they're just lies. And people will believe these things and go for it, and they think they're good. They think they're better off. The problem is they don't know what life is. They don't know what God's love is like. They think they're like dog eat dog. They think that their sins are meaningless. But sins is a life without rules. God has rules, and he gave us the same rules that he lives by. And there's no reason to break them, because his rules are life. Every word that he speaks to us is out of love. And so because it's out of love, it is life. To know life, you have to receive it and practice it as a way of life. And then you learn what life is. So, all right, God, he gave you his life. He washed you in his blood. He gave you life. He gave you peace. So why do something outside of the peace? The peace is your clue that you're on track. Your peace is fellowship with God, and God always has a solution. So what has to happen is people have to stop trusting false solutions and start trusting God, the real solutionist. When this is in place, now everything that wants to leave, that loves the world, will leave. People that love the world, they just hold things back anyway. But we want them there because they might snap out of it, in hopes that they might snap out of it. But you don't have to compromise with people that don't have true love for God. So what are you willing to sacrifice to do the things of God? Even if you're older, you may have to, you know, and the bills need to be paid. You can pray the Lord to use the spiritual wealth on your life to get you what you need. If the people are older and they just don't have the money it takes anymore, there's other options. To people that can get a job, you can get a job. You can write a book. I mean, that if you have, what do you have? Jesus said to his disciples, "What do you have?" They said, five fish and two loaves. That's what they had. Jesus blessed what they had. If you've been in ministry a long time and you've never written a book, God can give you a book and it can be a bestseller. There's so many ways that God can bless us. You just have to listen to the Holy Spirit. My pastor needed money, and the Lord said, "Speak to the mountain." He said, and the Lord kept telling me, he said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Sell the dirt." On the church property, they had prime red clay dirt. And he had a sign made saying dirt for sale, and sold over, $175,000 worth of dirt. He had it, didn't know it until the Lord pointed it. You have something. So when you start involving God, God will show you what you have and use what you have to bless you with what you need. But if you're conditioned to do it your way, you'll never know what God can. If you don't seek, you won't. And if you're not going to, in your relationship with God, if you don't knock, seek, and ask, there's a lot of things that you're not going to be able to do. But God, everything you needed was already there. Everybody's situation is different, but you have something and God can use it. You have options. You don't have to compromise. Now, since I brought up the compromise, a lot of things are out of place because people have given in to compromise. They listen to the wrong people instead of listening to the Lord. They stop praying. Benny Hinn said that he asked several pastors, how much do you pray? And the average was 10 or 15 minutes, if that. And that's terrible for any pastor. If you don't have a prayer life, what kind of your ministry can't run off the anointing alone. You have to have a relationship. How can you trust God? If you can't trust God, you can't go to the next glory. We grow from glory to glory, and you're going to have a very difficult time going to the next glory. And if you don't trust God, see, the church has been trained well in faith, but that's not enough. If you're skilled in faith, that's good. Now, because you're skilled in faith, the Lord will, you're going to pass some tests and God's going to give you something greater to do. But if you don't trust God, you won't begin it. And if you don't begin it, you won't know what it's like in the next glory. You'll stop yourself from going. And you're trying to stay where you're comfortable. But see, as we grow from glory to glory, God will take us to the unknown. When God takes you to the unknown and you won't go, you can't know what's going to happen if you don't go with him. Your life will stay like it is now. And you'll do what you're used to. You'll do like what everybody else is doing, following their predecessors and never excelling beyond. Now, that's not how the word is written. David said, "You through your word has made me wiser than my teachers." That's the pattern of God. Jesus said it too. He said, "If you believe, you will do greater works than me." Greater works than Jesus? Why? You're building on the foundation that he already laid. You have the same guidance of the Holy Spirit. The enemy's going to do things, and the Holy Spirit always takes us above the snake line. So some people are not growing beyond the snake line. Some people have never grown beyond the snake line. They don't even know what it means to grow beyond the snake line. So I'll explain it again. Perry Stone, I was listening to him one day. He said the Lord will help you live above the snake line. Well, snakes only go up a mountain so far, then they stop. The elevation bothers them. Different species go different heights. And then the mountain men, they draw a line on a rock that this is a snake line. You'll never see snakes past this point. So, when you follow God, you learn to master the little problems that everyday people have. And you love people beyond their aggravations. And you learn to help people. You learn to see things from the Holy Spirit's point of view. Now, you will love them and he'll supply you. No matter what they do out there, there's a party going on within because you have fellowship with God, and God will not only will you be able to master the everyday problems in this life, the Lord will prepare you before it happens. And in order to get people to, for you to live a good life, and also it helps people see the handiwork of God in you. Now, people try to do it with blessings. They try to be blessed in the sight of the world. Well, that just causes jealousy sometimes. See, a work of the flesh don't always work. And people do need to see you blessed. That helps, especially when you have unwavering love. When you love people continually. When you love people consistently. Your love is not up and down. It's always there. Now, that's the kind of people that love. If you love people, they'll respect you. If you're holy, they'll trust you. And if you're wise, you'll hold their attention. So this is what happens over time. I've said it many times. If you live the life of God's love every day, you love people no matter what they do. Whether they're good or bad, you love them. Whether they're a friend or foe, you love them anyway. If you're a boss and you got somebody that's bucking the system all the time, and you love that person, and you treat that person like you love them, they will respect you, and they'll stop bucking the system. But eventually, Satan's going to get to them, and they're going to have a problem they can't master. And they're going to confide in who they trust. Because you lived a holy life, they may not even like you, but they will trust you. And never betray people's trust. Now, the Holy Spirit will help us do these things. These are wonderful things. But see, once a person is introduced to life and they believe on Jesus, now they have a new spirit. Old things are passed away. All the buck in the system, all the problems they had is passed away. And now they see. Now they understand. And they are so thankful to God and those that help.